Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. As promised, Trent Horn here with us. Trent is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of a whole bunch of books. Can a Catholic be a socialist? Persuasive pro-life? Made this way? Answering atheism? Why we're Catholic? There's a bunch more, too. Also, you can get like CDs and DVDs, like Evidence for Catholic Moral Teaching. That's his Catholic School of Apologetics class. Trent Horn, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me back, Cy.
I'm going to make it a guest free-for-all. We can do any topic you want. What topic do you want to do?
What's up with your shirt?
No, we're not doing what's up with your shirt.
We're talking about that for an hour.
As
an
a
hour.
Topic,
we'll talk about...
what's up? Okay, Trent, here we go. What's up with your shirt, Trent?
Well, this one is an homage to, these are called cassette tapes. I noticed yours is Society 315.
Yes, I'm wearing a Society 315 shirt. I didn't know you were going to mention it. It's I was told I could wear it on the air today, so I'm super happy about that. Because I don't know if you know John Versillo, the director of video, he makes me wear a collared shirt every day. And he does so because he's a respectable adult, and he says you should look like a respectable adult. But still, I try to weasel out of it all the time. And so today I got to wear a T-shirt, Society 315, because that's the new giving society here at Catholic Answers, where people can become members.
Oh,
it's really going to be kind of cool, yeah.
Go ahead, Si.
No, I was just going to we found out that you have patrons. And that you give them stuff, and you have this great relationship with your patrons. So now we're going to give stuff to people if they join our giving society.
Oh, well, you're catching up to Council of Trent every day, and soon I will have pictures of cats. I do not have any pictures of cats yet, but I will get one. I'm just glad. Well, I wanted to know about that, Si, because I don't know. It's funny now that I'm working remotely full time in Dallas. I saw some of it on the feed. But I haven't been in the office around the water cooler. So I'm like, so what's going on? What are the haps? What's happening, everybody?
I know. So we just all talk about you every day. You're not here, so we could say whatever we want. There's been a lot of that going on. It's all been good, though. I want you to know it's all been good.
I expect nothing less and nothing more.
All right, so let's not do what's up with your T-shirt. Let's do an actual topic.
Okay, how about... let's see, applications of late classical antiquity to quantum mechanics.
Okay.
Or we could just do tips for defending the faith. How about tips for defending
important
the
note
faith?
Important note, Darren, if you could note this in the show logs, don't ever do guest gets to choose the topic again. Never play that game again. Okay. Let's do tips for defending the faith. If you'd like a tip for defending the faith, 888-318-7884. He's really good at it. He's Trent Horn. He wrote a book about answering atheism. He wrote the Persuasive Pro-Life book. He wrote Why We're Catholic. So all of those areas are open to you. If you'd like some tips on defending the Christian faith and particularly the particulars of the Catholic faith, 888-318-7884. Actually, people must have known already because they already are calling with their questions. Should we just go to some questions, Trent? Why do
sure.
I let you decide? I don't know. But that, we're going to Austin.
This sounds like when I talk to Laura, Si, she'll say, should we do this? I'll say, I don't know. Do you want to do this? Like, I just asked you. Why are you asking me? I feel like this is the kind of relationship we have. Just make a decision, Si. You can make one already.
All right. I'm gonna make an executive decision. Austin.
Been like this for 30 years with us.
I know.
Same thing.
Wow.
Can't make a decision.
It's like you have cassette tapes of my conversations with Missy. Austin in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app, the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. Get it at your app store. Austin, go ahead with your question for Trent Horn.
Hi, yes. Yeah. So first off, if I could say congratulations to assistant producer Marie on her new baby.
Oh, she's so happy. She's smiling and waving at you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, so Trent, my question is in regards to abortion and how to defend our pro-life views. And
sure.
One objection that I find really common now is this. So often you'll be asked, okay, so would you be comfortable with the government forcing you to have a vasectomy to prevent an unplanned pregnancy? And obviously we say no. And then they reply back, okay, so if you're not okay with the government forcing you to have a vasectomy when you don't want to in order to prevent unwanted pregnancies, why should we force women to give birth when they don't want to? And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard this argument a lot. It pops up a lot on social media because it fits within a Twitter status pretty easily. But logically, it just doesn't have a lot of force. Because I would say, okay, well, why? I think the way to neutralize these kinds of arguments is to ask basic questions related to them. So why is it wrong for the government to force someone to have a vasectomy? In fact, as a Catholic, I would say all vasectomies are wrong because it is wrong to sterilize someone, whether it's with their will or against their will. But with a person who's not Catholic, you could have common ground. They would say, well, yeah, sterilizing someone against their will is wrong. And so I would just say to them, so, I mean, first I try to understand their argument. You're saying, okay, I don't like if the government controls my reproductive life with, you know, by making me have a vasectomy. So I shouldn't use the government to control other people's reproductive lives by preventing them having abortions. I think that's kind of the gist of the argument there. But that just doesn't make sense. Because I would ask the question, my reason for objecting to abortion is not because I have some desire to control the reproductive lives of other people. As far as I'm concerned, if you are choosing to get an abortion, you have already reproduced. That's the issue. You have already reproduced. You have a small human being inside of you. The real question is, how do we treat that human being? So I would try to find common ground with this person to say, all right, you and I agree a forced vasectomy is wrong. Why is it wrong? Well, it's wrong to engage in an act of violence to destroy a person's bodily organ against their will. And I might say, okay, let's say they were unconscious. Would it still be wrong to give them a vasectomy? Or let's say they're a little baby and we gave them a vasectomy, you know, that when they can't consent. Well, no, you shouldn't destroy a little baby's body parts. You shouldn't destroy a child's an important organ like the vas deferens or mutilate a child's body. Obviously, you shouldn't do that. Okay, sounds like we have common ground there. In much the same way, I would agree that you should not force somebody to conceive a child. You should not, you know, the government should not forcibly impregnate people. The government should not forcibly do hysterectomies. The government should not forcibly do vasectomies. The thread in all of this, I'd say, okay, so what's the thread? The thread is the government should not either directly cause or facilitate an act of violence against an innocent person. It sounds like we agree with that. Is that the condition? The government should not engage in or facilitate an act of violence against an innocent person. Okay, so what is abortion? Abortion is removing an unborn child from the womb with the intent of killing him or her. So that's an act of violence against an innocent person. So I think that's probably the route that I would take and just try to get people to see that, for me, it's not about controlling reproduction. If you are pregnant, you have already reproduced. The question is, what's going to happen to the child you have successfully reproduced and brought into this world? Will they be allowed to grow and be treated with dignity and respect, or will they be eliminated through a heinous act of violence? I think that's probably the tack I would take, and I hope that's a helpful reply.
I'm going to say I hope it's a helpful reply as well, because we have to take a quick break. So thank you very much, Austin, for getting us started. Tips for Defending the Faith with Trent Horn this hour on Catholic Answers Live. If you'd like a tip for defending some aspect of the faith, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We need to pray because God says to pray. We don't need to pray to change God's mind. We pray because that is our big connection to the Almighty. Do we need it? Like we need air? Like we need water? Yep. Because if, in fact, God is the ultimate reality, more reality than air and water, then we do need to pray as much as we need to breathe.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Tips for Defending the Faith this hour with our guest, Trent Horn, a super-duper apologist. That's right, I'm willing to go all the way out on the limb and call him a super-duper apologist. You're welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. But I have to interrupt the proceedings for a quick second here, Trent Horn, because David, the Director of Development here at Catholic Answers?
I certainly do.
And
hi, David.
Hey, Trent. How are you?
David's here with us, and he's wearing one of these new T-shirts, Society 315. Today is March 15th. But I also know this because I'm very, very good with Scripture, that in the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, it says, be prepared to give a defense of your faith. So are these things related?
They are. They are related.
Are they related to
yes.
these T-shirts
yes.
we're wearing?
So if you're not watching on YouTube, we're wearing a T-shirt that says Society 315. And Society 315, which takes its name from the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, which is indeed about defending the faith, but doing so with charity, which is what we're all about here at Catholic
That's
Answers.
That's more or less like our mission statement here is 315 from the first letter of St.
It really is. It's kind of the verse that we use as apologists. We use it as our touchstone,
yeah, right?
If there's ever any doubt on how we can best defend the faith, we can always refer back to this particular verse, and it will certainly provide us some guidance.
So what's Society 315 all about? What's it going to be?
So one of the things that we have been blessed over the years to have is a great number of monthly donors to our apostolate. And as we thought about how can we better deepen the relationship we have with our monthly supporters, the idea of a monthly givers club came to mind. So this has been in the works for really about a year, Cy. And when we created the club, we wanted it to be at a membership level accessible to all. And we wanted it to genuinely help folks to become more engaged in what we are doing right, every single right. day to explain and defend the faith. Because we have a lot of great, we have great professional apologists, Trent Horn, Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples. There are a lot of great amateur apologists out there as well. And this club is for all of those folks that maybe don't consider yourself an amateur apologist, but you do want to be, you enjoy defending the faith, you want to be even better, and here at Catholic Answers, we're all about helping you to do that.
Well, Christine came to my office and asked me, would I join Society 315? And I was like, nope, nope. She goes, you get a free T-shirt. I was like, I'm in. So that's why I joined. I joined for the T-shirt. Do you get any other stuff?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so you get this great T-shirt. That's part of the membership. You get a free magnet for your car that advertises Catholic.com. What a great way to drive around in traffic. I think traffic is returning as society opens back up again. And if someone's driving behind you and they see this great car magnet that says Catholic.com on it, you never know who that might help come deeper or into the Catholic faith for the first time. So it's a form of apologetics. You get discounts on our Catholic Answers shop, and you'll get some great additional content exclusive to the club,
yeah.
such as webinars, ebooks, and the like. So there's a whole smorgasbord of benefits that will be available for this club.
All right, so I knew about it before it even started. But already I know a whole bunch of people here at Catholic Answers are joined as members. So
half of the staff, Cy, is already a member of Society 315. So they're leading the way, which is what we certainly like to see. But certainly we encourage others to join us.
We should do a thing where we all wear our T-shirts, everybody who's a member of Society 315, at the big conference in September.
Well, yes. So there will be more to come, but that's part of the club as well, is we truly want this to be something where folks feel connected as part of a community.
Uh-huh.
And one way we're going to do that is for those who come to the Catholic Answers Conference this coming September. Yes, we are having the conference. We're excited about it. Wear your T-shirts. Let us know you're coming. And we will have an event exclusively for Society 315 members to get together and share some time. So
I'm
we're looking
coming.
Forward to that as well.
I'm coming, especially free stuff is my main motivator. Okay, so yeah. You can go to CA Society 315. So that's Catholic Answers, Society 315, CASociety315.com. You can get all the information. If you're already a donor, you can send us an email and we'll get you set up. CASociety315.com. Did you want to give them the email?
Yeah. Yeah, so the email again is society315@catholic.com. So this is really important, Si. If you are currently an existing monthly donor to Catholic Answers, you too can be a member of the club. Email society315@catholic.com, and we will get back to you, and we will help you get all set up with membership. One other way to get the link to sign up, if you're not already a monthly donor, to get the link to sign up, you can text Catholic to 24365. So 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, text Catholic to 24365, and you will get a response that has the link to the sign-up page, and you can do it at your leisure later today or whenever that might be. One last thing, Si, we wanted to do a special incentive for those who want to sign up right now. And if you sign up for Society 315 by the end of the show today, so that's 8 p.m. Eastern time, and in the notes, in the comments, put Si's cat.
Oh, because I have my cat here next to me.
You have a picture of your cat next to you. So put Si's cat in the comments when you sign up, and we will send you a free 20 Answers ebook. So that's this hour only. If you sign up, we'll be happy to do that.
I want to suggest to people just go to CASociety315.com too, because another thing Christine did, she showed me the video, and I was practically crying at the end of the video. I was like so fired up. I want to get out there and defend the faith. I want to.
Yep.
It's good.
It'll fire you up, won't it?
It will, yeah.
Yep, see that video.
I love it that we're going to have this society of people all around the world who are connected by this desire to explain and defend the Catholic faith.
What it's all about.
I love it.
It's not just a club per se, but we want it to truly be a community.
Beautiful. Yep. All right, CASociety315.com. Thanks, David.
You bet. Thank you, Si.
Trent, you're ready to go back to work?
You better believe it.
I do believe it. So we're going to go all the way to Indiana. Polly in Indiana listening on Catholic.com. You are up next. Go ahead with your question for Trent Horn. Oh, I think Polly's listening on her radio. This is always fun. In a second, she's going to say hi, but you got to let it loop all the way around, and then she realizes we're talking to her, and then she goes, hello.
Oh. Hello?
There it is. Man, Si, you're pretty good.
Turn off the radio, Polly.
This is like Groundhog Day. Like, you're going to predict everything that's going to happen?
Hello.
Hi, Polly. We're so happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Trent.
Sorry about that. I still had the show pulled up on Catholic.com. So
that's great.
It's Polly, by the way. I think I heard a Polly in there.
Oh, sorry. We thought it was your sister Polly calling. Holly, go ahead with your question for Trent.
That's okay. First of all, thanks for all you do, Trent. So my question is, I'm wondering if you have any tips for encouraging a fallen away Catholic who like to come back to the faith when they're very attracted to like the cultural and liturgical aspects of non-denominational Protestantism. So like,
yeah,
kind of like such as the music and like the very vibrant and kind of more charismatic social community.
Sure. And I'll put my cards on the table that I don't have foolproof answers here. It's like, this is the best way to get someone
sure.
excited about the faith. But if I had to ask someone, you know, I'd really want to plumb the depths of their heart to see what is it that they're seeking after. If they're Catholic, but they're going to a non-denominational church because they enjoy vibrant praise and worship. And I might sympathize with them to say, yeah, sometimes when I go to mass, there have been a lot of masses that I've been to that are frankly lackluster. That's why I've really enjoyed the past 2 years attending a Byzantine Catholic Church. Honestly, I feel like a lot of charismatic people would find a lot to be at home there. So there's different ways I might approach that individual. One might be introducing them to elements in Catholicism that are similar. Depending where you live, there may be a charismatic Catholic community. Some places have praise and worship that they offer for adults on different occasions, or a mass that's celebrated in a reverent way but has some of those praise and worship elements in it. So that's one way is you can try to say, hey, would you like to come in and check this out? That's similar. But I think that's the lighter end of the approach. I think what I would just say to them is, okay, well, what do you think, to ask them just point blank, what kind of a church do you think Jesus wants us to belong to? Like, what is, do you think Jesus gave us a church? Like, I mean, like for me, when I was choosing to become Catholic, I saw all these churches out there and I thought, okay, I'm going to pick the one that aligns with my understanding of the Bible and that I enjoy going to the most. So I feel like sometimes we look at churches, we treat it in a very consumer way, but that's not what Jesus and the apostles gave us. You can ask this person, where does the Bible say that Jesus gave us a set of writings or a Bible, or the apostles say, this is the set of writings you're going to follow? It doesn't say that. I then ask them, but where does Jesus talk about a church? Where do the apostles talk about a church? And you'll notice in Scripture, they don't talk about the churches. Like Jesus says, for example, when you sin against your brother in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, if your brother sins against you, go to him. You can't resolve it then. Go back to him with two or three witnesses. If that doesn't work, bring him to the church. And if that doesn't work, then just be done with it, basically. You've done the best that you can. But notice he says the church, not your church or his church. And Jesus is very clear in John 17. He talks about how he desires that we be one, that all believers be one, just as he and the Father are one. So it seems very clear. I'd ask them, look, the Bible says Jesus didn't give us a bunch of churches or one Bible to figure it out. Jesus gave us a church. What is the church? Where is it? Now, this person might say, well, the church is just everybody who believes in Jesus. And then I would say, where does the Bible say that? Where does the Bible say the church is just all the baptized people in common? The Bible makes very clear, like in Hebrews 13, it says, obey your elders. That's the Greek word presbyteroi. It means like, that's where we get the English word priest as a contraction of that Greek word presbyteroi. Literally in Hebrews 13, it says, obey your priests, your elders. Well, which elders? Which pastors? Which priests? It tells us to obey, but all the different pastors tell us different things of what we're supposed to do. Who are we supposed to listen to? And so I would say to them, what did the very first Christians believe about which church we are to belong to? And St. Ignatius of Antioch and others talk about how the church you need to go to is the one connected to the apostles that has bishops, priests, and deacons. St. Ignatius of Antioch said, follow the bishop as Jesus Christ follows the Father. So I think I would take them down and ask them, like, challenge their idea of sola scriptura and really focus on the church Jesus established and what that means. And when Scripture talks about it, having bishop, overseers, bishops, elders or priests, deacons, where do we have that today? And then finally, I think I would encourage them to say, look, I understand, why do you like praise and worship? Well, it makes you feel closer to God, closer to Jesus Christ. And I say, yeah, I get that. Sometimes that music makes me feel closer to God than the awful stuff, the awful hymns I get at Mass sometimes. Not all of them are awful, but some of them are. But I say, you know where I feel closest to God, where I feel the closest to Jesus Christ, our Savior, when I receive him on my tongue in the Eucharist and the body and blood of Christ become a part of my body and my blood, that I have that literal communion with my Savior to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I receive God, not just in a spiritual way, not just in an emotional way, but I can receive him under a physical form, because God knows that we're made of matter. So matter, it really matters. And he wants to come and dwell with us. John 14, Jesus says, I want to come and dwell. I and the Father will dwell in a man's heart. He wants that intimate communion with us. And as much as at a charismatic Protestant church, you can't get that. Same kind of intimate communion we have in the Eucharist. So that's a lot. Stay on the line, Pauly. I'm going to send you Why We're Catholic. It'll help you, or maybe a friend. You give it to a friend if you know them who's kind of dabbling in that. It might be helpful. But is that a good start?
Yeah, Trent, thanks so much for that. So it's my brother who's kind of been on this kind of journey. So yeah, I do actually, we talk about the music and different things frequently, because that's something we share in common. But I hadn't thought about that before with like how I feel closest to God being receiving him in the Eucharist, and especially with everything with the pandemic kind of keeping us from Mass at various points in time. Like, I've definitely felt that yearning even stronger. So I hadn't thought about that. So thank you for that.
Well, good. Well, let's stay on the line. Let's get you Why We're Catholic. And I hope that's helpful to you. And I hope people listening, especially those who are vociferously for shutting down churches unnecessarily, to see how much of a spiritual deprivation it causes. I'm all fine for sensible health regulations, but I feel like ranting because, you know, I don't care. But Yeah, it's just hard when I, sorry, Holly, but I mean, I'm so glad you called. We'll send you Why We're Catholic. But I mean, just to have that for you and your brother, it's like to take away the Eucharist, to not understand the Mass is an essential service. The liturgy cannot be replicated over Zoom. Okay? It's the best we can do when we are unable to go. I get that. But to actually receive Jesus on our tongues, I feel like I am grateful for the parishes and the bishops that fought hard to allow that. And we should go through any length to do that. Even if it means, hey, we're going to be outside, drive by in your car. We got the Mass. We're doing everything. We'll do everything we can. I am proud of bishops and parishes that did everything they could to get the Eucharist to people. And I am ashamed of those who did not. I'm not afraid to say it.
Trent Horn is our guest, obviously in negotiations with someone for a talk show. And because every time he's on now, he's doing the talk show host imitation. Just hire him. He clearly wants to be a talk show host. We'll be right back with more Trent Horn and tips on defending the faith. 888-318-7884 right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest is Trent Horn, apologist extraordinaire with tips on defending the faith. If you'd like tips on defending the faith, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Next, we go to the city that is celebrated around the world this year. It's the year of St. Joseph, and we're going to St. Joseph, Missouri on 106.1 FM is Joe. Can you believe that? It's the year of St. Joseph. Joe from St. Joseph, Missouri. I don't know why. It just blows my mind. Hi, Joe.
Can you dig it?
I totally dig it. And thank you for asking. No one ever asked me if I can dig it anymore.
Hey, here's an interesting question. A non-Catholic myself asking a question about defending the Catholic faith. I've been, you know, for the last 20 years, I've been a non-denominational Protestant, I guess you might call it. Becoming increasingly interested in the Catholic faith through initially Catholic social teaching, which stemmed into natural law. I started tracing a lot of that stuff back, and I started to see the Catholic Church as a global authority in the values that a lot of us Christians hold dear to.
Wow.
So my question is, for defending the Catholic Church as the global authority on values and natural law, as opposed to, let's say, the Americanized church that kind of believes that the United States is the authority on those sort of things.
Right. Oh, so is kind of like indirect evidence for Catholicism in that it's maintained a solid witness. Yes, I would say that this is, it might not be like a direct proof per se, but I think it's a reason that Protestants should really consider the role of the church, that if you believe that Christ established a church and that church exists today, and what is the role of that church? This kind of goes back to, it was Holly's question, right? Not Polly, it was Holly.
It was Holly, yeah.
It was Holly, yes. To Holly's question about, well, you know, what about my brother wants to go to a non-denominational church. What do I do to get him back to the Catholic Church? Because I'll say, look, to my non-denominational friends, I think that's the largest, I want to say that's the largest Protestant denomination in the world, the non-denominationalists. I mean, I feel like I've met more non-denominationalists than members of any other denomination, frankly. He says, well, what do I tell my brother who's into this? You know, well, did Jesus give us a church, right? He gave us one church. Where is that church? Now, the reply might be, well, the church is just the invisible bond that exists between all baptized Christians. Everyone who is saved, that is the church. Then I might say, all right, what does the church give us? What does the church do? Like in 1 Peter 3:15, it said that Paul tells Timothy, he commands him to know how to withstand error and uphold truth, because I exhort you, because I know how you are to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark or pillar and foundation of truth. When we look through scripture, we see that the church is a source of strength and unity and truth for Christians. If the church is something we can look to as the pillar and foundation of truth, the church of the living God, can we look to the invisible bond of all Christians for that? I don't think so. What are something that all Christians agree on, except for like the absolute bare minimal essentials, like the Trinity and the deity of Christ? After that, you look in Protestantism, you have wide fractures over things like contraception, divorce and remarriage, abortion, homosexuality. You have deep, wide chasms amongst different denominations. So if you can't get it from just, you can't get that source of understanding, okay, what is the truth on all these questions? You can't look to the body of baptized Christians as a whole. That's not the church. The church has to be some kind of enduring, authoritative reality that exists in all of the ages. And I would say that only the Catholic Church is that enduring body. And to go back to Joe's question, that it's upheld this moral tradition. I think it's a valuable witness. You look at, to give you two examples, I guess, for me, one would be contraception, that every single Christian church opposed contraception until 1930. That was when the Anglicans broke ranks at their Lambeth Conference in 1930. In 1931, Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical Casti Canubi, reaffirmed the church's teaching on contraception. Pope Paul VI did it again in Humana Vitae. Pope St. John Paul II did it again in Theology of the Body, over and over. And so since 1930, we're going to come up on, before we know it, 100 years since then, the church is one of the few institutions that has remained, whereas many other Protestant and even Eastern Orthodox, you look at Eastern Orthodoxy, the writings of them, Timothy Ware, who was an Orthodox bishop, now Callistos Ware, like when he writes about Orthodoxy and contraception back in like the 60s, it's way different from the 90s and 2000s, where it's like, oh, it's kind of up to your conscience. And divorce and remarriage. Like for me, I feel like this is one that really moved me in converting and seeing the truth of the Catholic faith, that the Bible is just so clear. Jesus' teaching in Mark 10 is so clear about the illicitness of remarriage after divorce. It's just crystal clear. And yet there are so many Protestant churches and even among the Orthodox who have accepted that and tried to change the clear meaning of Jesus' words. Whereas the Catholic Church has maintained the firm understanding about marriage. You look today at what the CDF said about the churches, not just that the church won't, but that the church is unable to bless same-sex unions because those blessings are reserved for couples either in or imminently preparing for true marriage, which, as it says in the CDF document released today, the indissoluble union between a one man and one woman that is open to life. And to me, the church has maintained that clear understanding of Christian weight and tradition on these important moral issues. I don't know really anybody else who has. The Catholic Church has. So I threw a lot out there, Joe, but I kind of agree with you. I think it's an important witness, and it should serve to really make people think hard about the Catholic faith. So I agree. What do you think?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's exactly what I was looking for, I think, and I'm beginning to wake up to a lot of this. So I couldn't imagine a better response. So I really appreciate that.
Joe,
no problem.
We have a book here about why we're Catholic, and it's about why Trent and I are Catholic. It's called Why We're Catholic. It's actually written by Trent, but I just am sympathetic to every word in it. Would you like to receive a copy of that book and maybe give it some consideration?
Yes, I think that'd be a great resource for sure. I'd love to.
Okay, so hang on, and assistant producer Marie, who's answering the phones for two, will get your information, and we'll send you out Why We're Catholic. And maybe we'll get to talk again. Joe, you want to say something else, Trent?
Yeah, no, I just want assistant producer Marie. Let's give him the case for Catholicism, too. Bit beefier, but if you want to get all your apologetic answers, we can email it to you.
Okay.
We might be able to send you a paperback copy of Why We're Catholic, but we can email you the case for Catholicism.
Okay. I get in trouble when you give away stuff that I'm not supposed to give away. So as long as you clarified that with
We can email it. But I mean, it's just if you got a ton of questions.
I got to talk
to the
cat for a
minute. I've told you for 30 years we can email case for... Don't talk to the cat. You talk to me.
When I talk to you, it makes me upset. When I talk to the cat, it calms me down. So I'm sorry.
The reverse? When I talk to you, I calm down. That cat makes me upset.
Joe, hang on the line. Marie's going to get to you. Dan in Indianapolis, Indiana, watching or listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are next. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Trent Horn.
Hi, Trent. Great to get through to you. One question that I have encountered in the past and have had some trouble explaining to an atheist friend is, if God loves all people equally, then why did he choose only to reveal himself to the Jews before Christ? And I was hoping you could give me a way in which I could explain that might make sense to somebody who is an atheist as to why what the church believes about why God chose the Jews to be the chosen people. And you know, the argument they make is that, well, God ignored all the other people at the time, and he only loved the Jews. And that's something I could use some help in answering.
Yeah, well, I think your atheist objector is assuming that unless God loves everyone equally, there are some people he does not love. But it could be the case that God loves everyone, but he loves some people more than others, or he gives more grace and more gifts to some people rather than others. And that's not unfair to God for God to do, because none of us have a right to anything from God. Everything we receive from God is grace, a free gift. And so we have no right to complain about the idea that we should get more than other people. All that God owes us is that God must adhere to being goodness itself. So God cannot act in an evil way towards us. So God loves the world. God loves every person. He doesn't necessarily love everyone equally, you know, but so he gives some grace to others, other graces to other people. Why does he do that? Well, we don't know. We don't know in some of these ways. Isaiah 55 says, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. As the heavens are above the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. Romans chapter 9 is very clear. For us to say, why did God pick the Jews and you didn't pick me? That's like the pot saying to the potter, Romans 9, why does that pot get to be on the dinner table and I am the chamber pot in the bathroom? Why is one pot for noble use and the other for ignoble use? You don't have if the potter wasn't here, you wouldn't even exist. So I would say that God, he loves the world. He wants all people to be saved. But he chooses to give different graces and gifts to different people, and that's within his right. And so what we see in the Old Testament, God chose Israel to be the people through which he would be manifested to the world. He chose not to make his existence obvious to everyone. So that's why God did not reveal himself to every people and every time in the same way he revealed to Israel. He gave Israel that sacred task, but it was also a big responsibility. He held Israel to a higher standard than he did the other nations because they should have known better. The same is true for Christians today. So I would say that if you look in the Old Testament, God did not love other peoples. And he made it clear in the story of Ruth, the story of Rahab in Jericho, that he shows his love to all peoples. Read the story of Jonah is a great example of that. God didn't hate the Ninevites and only love the Jews. He wanted to bring the Ninevites to repentance. He loves everyone, but he chose the Jewish people for that special task to bring the Messiah into the world. And now through Jesus Christ, we now have a universal covenant for all people to be a part of. And it was part of just God's plan of different events. You couldn't see the whole picture going on over thousands of years that culminates into a masterpiece. And as little splotches on the painting, we're not in the best position to know if God was being a good artist, but if you step back where God is and you see the whole painting, we see the majesty of salvation history through the means that God has chosen. So I hope that is that's helpful for you. I'd also, Dan, I would challenge your friend who's an atheist, if he has this idea that there's like this moral rule that if God existed or people in general have an obligation to treat people equally, where does that moral rule come from, this obligation to treat people with equality? In an atheistic universe, you can't have these kinds of binding universal moral rules. But if God exists, you can. So that should make him reconsider his atheism. So I hope that's helpful to you.
Dan, thanks. I'm going to keep moving, try to get as many on as I can with Trent. Do we have to do a break before I do that, though? Okay, well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more tips on defending the faith with Trent Horn.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Hey, I keep forgetting to mention this month's free ebook. The free ebook is Understanding the Book of Revelation, and we get a lot of questions actually on the Book of Revelation. So maybe it's something you want to grab, make it part of your Lenten reading perhaps. Just go over to shop.catholic.com, click the free ebook button, and you can get a free e-copy of Understanding the Book of Revelation. Our guest this hour is Trent Horn, a wonderful, wonderful apologist and cat lover, and here to take your questions, whatever they are, as far as tips for defending the faith. We go now to Spokane, Washington. Mike in Spokane, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio, AM 970. You are next. Go ahead, Mike, with your question for Trent.
Hey, thanks. Trent, the reason for the call is I'm a Protestant, and COVID caused me to kind of reevaluate my faith and the church. And I was watching a YouTube presentation with you and Matt Frad, and you said during your conversion, what drew you to the church is that it most aligned with the early church, but you never really had a chance to elaborate on that. So could you explain that further? Thank you.
Sure. Sure, Mike. In my studies of the church fathers during my conversion experience, I mean, I felt like, look, I wanted to belong to that church Jesus Christ established, And I believe that church had an enduring historical existence and would continue to the present day. It might develop. It might look different than the church in the first century and the early second centuries. But there could still be a lot of these common elements. And so in my studies, I found, I guess, probably two or different three issues of why the Catholic Church most closely resembled the early church. One would be ecclesiology. The question is, what is our source of authority? Looking at Scripture and the Church Fathers, there is no mention of anything that I would say would be an explicit affirmation of sola scriptura. Instead, the source of authority was bound up in the apostles and their successors. That's something I mentioned to a previous caller. Reading St. Ignatius of Antioch really drove that home for me, seeing what he said about the nature of the church, the following the bishop as Jesus Christ follows the Father, and how the church at Rome is kind of preeminent among all of the other churches. So I guess ecclesiology is one. Sacramental theology would be another, seeing the way they spoke about the Eucharist as being something that was much closer to the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox views of understanding the Eucharist as the real presence of Christ. Like in the force, it was funny, like even when I read critics, like you read people like, you know, like William Webster, for example, who is a well-known critic of Catholicism. He wrote a book on the Church Fathers and Catholicism, trying to show Catholicism as unhistorical. What was amazing is that he said, look, I'll give you this, that the Catholic teaching on baptismal regeneration and John 3:5, that was a universal teaching in the early church. He said, you know, that when you see after the second and third century, it's very clear universal belief in the propitiatory or sacrificial nature of the Mass. That was just like light bulbs going off there. And then the issue of salvation and whether your salvation can be lost or not, and the way of reconfirming your place in the new in this new covenant, it all just kind of clicked, seeing the Bible's teaching on salvation versus many other Protestant areas. Now, I will say that there were some, I see it as like a spectrum. So like some of it, like Reformed theology, that was far off for me. When you get to like Lutheranism, that's a lot closer, but still not quite there. Eastern Orthodoxy, we are almost there, but save for the Trinity and the papacy. But like, well, that's really super duper close. The papacy is what kind of put me over the edge on that. Though I do worship at an Eastern Rite church. So it, like the service I go to that's Byzantine, it looks a lot like Eastern Orthodoxy. I love the style, but the matters about theology still trump that. But so that's a bit of a abbreviated way of me, if I had to elaborate on that. Is that at least a helpful elaboration?
Yeah. During COVID, I've kind of read several books. As a matter of fact, I started by reading Catholicism for Dummies because I really didn't know much about it.
Is that Father John Trigilio?
Trigilio, it is.
Yeah, I think he's on this week. I think he's going to be on. You should call. You should call tell him you read his book.
Tell him I enjoyed the book.
What day is he on? Thursday, second hour. Father John Trigilio will be here.
Okay, cool. I will. I'll listen in. But yeah, I just read so many different books about the early church and the church fathers, and like you said, they all seem to point back to the origin of our faith. And I'm just trying to put a little bit more meat on the bone about what that exactly looked like. So thanks for your insight. Appreciate it.
Well, Mike, why don't you stay on the line? I want to send you a case for Catholicism. We can email it to you. That is my most, I love Why We're Catholic because it's the most accessible book. And if you'd like that, ask the call screener. We can get you that book too. Case for Catholicism, though, is my most extensive defense of Catholicism. And I do a lot on the Church Fathers in that book. If you want more on the Church Fathers, I also recommend Jimmy Akin's book, The Fathers Know Best. We could also, maybe we'll throw that one in. I don't know. I'll let backstage figure it out. But I want to get you Case for Catholicism to read because that will cover a lot of this ground. I think you'll appreciate it.
Don't give them all
appreciate
those books.
It. Thank you very much.
Murray, go easy because we got bills to pay around here. We just can't be giving out all these books. Which Trent just starts mentioning. Oh, we're on the air? Oh, sorry. Beg your pardon. Back to Trent Horn is our guest. Tips for defending the faith.
What if the lights just turned off in the studio? You're like, Trent, we couldn't pay the electric bill anymore.
We went bankrupt.
You gave out
yeah.
too many Why We're Catholics. We couldn't afford the the $8.53 every episode it costs. Send them out.
Yeah, I don't think you're familiar with what postal rates are these days. We got to go to New York City. New York City, listening on Sirius XM satellite radio, EWTN channel 130. Michael in New York, go ahead with your question for Trent.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my call, Trent. I've been really struggling with my faith. I'm Catholic, made all the sacraments.
Oh, no.
And I've been through some rough patches with, you know, a failed marriage, children that blame me for that and kind of discommunicated from me. I've been trying to keep the Catholic faith, but, you know, a few months back I ran into, I'll just name him this, his name, he goes by the Foul Father, okay? And he's kind of like, he's non-denominational, and he's telling me, you know, not to follow the Catholic way. That they're not going to forgive you guys. Are not going to, the Catholic religion isn't going to forgive me, and that, you know, all my sins, you know, will be forgiven by the Foul Father. He goes by the Foul Father. I don't want to disclose his real name. The call screener said not to disclose.
But he says he'll forgive your sins, or your.
He says he will do it personally.
He will, and his God will.
Oh.
You know.
Is this Christian? It doesn't sound like it.
No. That's why I'm confused. I don't even know what it is. But I'm a Catholic. Like I said, my family's been Catholic for many years of practicing Catholics. And you know, recently with this weekend's festivities going on, you know, I basically wanted to have, you know, Gonzaga, Villanova, Georgetown, and Loyola Chicago.
I'm not sure where we're going with that. It's starting to make me a little bit anxious where exactly that call is going. So I'm just going to let you answer the question, Trent. If the question is this. Michael's being tempted out of the Catholic Church with the idea that his sins can be forgiven elsewhere and he doesn't have to go to confession. So,
right. Well, Michael, I think I would say do not look to men, look to God for forgiveness of sins and for the peace and comfort that comes in being forgiven of sin and being reconciled to God. We always, as human beings, we're tempted to want to get rid of our guilt, but get away from God while we're doing it. You know, it's like if we have sinned or if we've been sinned against and we're seeking healing, a lot of times you want to run away from God. It's like, you know, God wants to cleanse our hearts and heal us, but it's like when the iodine hits the wound, it can burn at first. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. But that's why it's beautiful that God gave us a sacrament of reconciliation so that we can know who forgives sins. Jesus Christ forgives sins. Mark 2:5, I forgive your sins. Who but God alone can forgive sins? Only God forgives sins. But God can allow those who have received the sacrament of holy orders, God can be in the person of Christ in these people and the successors of the apostles. John 20:23, he gives the apostles the ability to forgive sins. And through confession, we don't just have a hope. It's not like, oh, I'll go to this church or this guy and I can feel forgiven. We can know we're forgiven when the priest says that absolution. We can know that and we can rejoice. And as 1 Peter 5 says, we can cast all our anxieties on God because he cares for us. So if you'll stay on the line, I hope you're still there. I want to send you a copy of Why We're Catholic to really remind you of why we seek the truth in the Catholic faith. Stay on the line. Then I will also recommend to you, if you're struggling right now with depression or anxiety, go to CatholicCounselors.com. Catholic Counselors is run by my friend, Dr. Greg Popchak. Wonderful group. They do telecounseling. So they can work with you even through like HSAs or in cash payments. They do authentic Catholic counseling, and I think you might need to speak with someone to help you heal from these wounds that you have either been afflicted with or, you know, has happened, and you can seek that peace. I'll ask our listeners to pray for you. Let's get you a copy of Why We're Catholic. Then go to CatholicCounselors.com. I really think talking to someone more long-term to help with this would be really beneficial to you.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate that. Trent Horn, thank you. It's great to get to spend this first day of Daylight Savings Time with you.
Of course. I think I'm going to be back tomorrow, even more.
Two hours. Right, as a matter of fact, we got you for 2 hours, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? 2 hours of open
Let
forum.
Let her rip.
So, hey, there's always lots of people that want to talk with Trent. If you're on the line, just give us a call tomorrow and we'll get you on with Trent because we're going to do 2 hours of open forum then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.